Amen. And while you're seating, while you're taking your seats, look at verse 24 and 25. It says, now when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priests heard these things, they wondered that the outcome or what the outcome would be. And so one came and told them, saying, look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Mm-hmm. Amen. 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 You all may be seated. Amen. Glory to God. I want you to turn to your neighbor and I want you to tell your neighbor to move from prison into his power.
Move from prison into his power.
Now turn to them again and make it personal. Say, I want to move.
I want to move
from my prison,
into his power.
And throw your heads back and shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
If we reflect back in our own personal lives, there was a time where we lived outside of the will of God for our lives. And some of us as believers still may be there, but the truth is that whenever we live outside of the will of God for our lives and we face many situations, a lot of what happens in our lives is we build up fences. Mm-hmm. We build up barriers. And as long as we in our minds think we're in a secure place in our fences, in our walls, in our boundaries, that a lot of times we only think that God can move within our fences and he can't move beyond that. And so what happens to us as believers, and we use the word prison as a metaphor this morning, it is a place that we have built around ourselves. And I don't have to go into no great detail. Everybody knows what a prison is. And a prison is a place where a person goes to and they are restricted. They're placed in a cell that's 6x6 where they can't move around or do anything outside of that prison that they have placed themselves in. And I won't be the first one to tell you that I don't know what your prison might be this morning. But the truth is we have all, whether you're in one now or you are coming out of one, we have all built prisons around ourselves that nobody could see. And we a lot of times put the masquerade on because, you know, when you have a fence around you, that a lot of times we think that the fence is so that nobody can get in. But the reality is that the fence really represents something in our lives that we can't get out. And I'm telling you, the fence is a terrible thing because at least if I built a wall around myself, I won't be able to see outside or past that wall. But when you build a fence around yourself or prison doors around yourself, you can at least see that there's something beyond where I am. Because of our own frustration, because of our own difficulties, because of our own challenges, whatever they might be, we get comfortable in the prison. And so this morning, I want to encourage us because these invisible barriers, we put them in place and they keep us from becoming all that God is calling for us to be. I want to kill a devil this morning. Don't you put the prison on the devil. Oh, no. The enemy does not create the prison. He'll torment us in our prison. But turn to somebody and say, the prison belongs to you. We create prisons for ourselves that nobody can see but us. Help us, Lord Jesus. But whenever you make the sound decision to step outside of your prison, to live in your faith in God, to live a life that will bring glory to God. I want you to understand something. And when we step out of these prisons to give God glory and to do a good work for God, with the promises or the promise of growing in our faith and gaining success in our spiritual growth and development, you better get ready for opposition. Because you are right with the enemy as long as you're encaging yourself, and as long as you are developing your own prison, and as long as you don't come outside of it, you are right with him. But the moment you come outside of what God, of what you created, but God is trying to destroy in your life, the enemy will bring about opposition to make you think that maybe you ought to go back behind the fence that you were in before you stepped over it. Turn to somebody and say, come out wherever you are.
Yes, come out wherever you are. That's right.
Ah. See?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Opposition.
Uh-oh.
In the text, we see an adversity or an adversary to those who are benefactors of God's grace. And I want you to understand something, because we're benefactors of God's grace. These apostles in this text, being the benefactors of God's grace and walking in the power of God's authority, were harassed by a group of religious leaders of the sect of the Sadducees. And in these verses, we have the posture of distraction. Help us, Jesus. And this posture of distraction always comes to try to diminish the power and the authority of God, to make you think that your struggle had more power over you than your deliverance. I'm sick, but I'd rather be sick, because at least I know what it feels like to be sick. And so when God rolls up on our situations, whether it's heartache or whatever's going on, it is his will to destroy the fence. But some of us have gotten so used to the walls. Help us, Lord Jesus, that we don't want to come out. You know, there are folks who tell the story, history of slavery, that when Nat Turner came to the plantations to tell the slaves, listen, we're going to go free. It is the will of God that we be free. And so y'all come on. There were some of them that said, oh, no, y'all go ahead. I'm treated real good here. I get a meal. I get a place to sleep. And I'm telling you, when you start feeling good, about distraction and discouragement and unfaithfulness, and when you start making your bed in the area of affliction, you know you're in big trouble then, because God wants to pull us out of it, but we have found so much comfort in it that we'll stay in the drama of it and won't move. And God is saying, I'm here to pull you out. I'm here to deliver you. I'm here to set you free. And just like some slaves, oh, no, God, I'm good right where I am. At least I know what to expect. Turn to somebody and say, moving from prison to his power. And so the Sadducees attempting to drive the apostle Peter and John out from or off of from God's work, as the apostles made an aim to lift up the people by committing to do the work of God. And I want you to understand something in the verses, starting in verse 12, in the verses prior to verse 17, Peter and John are in the temple and in the public place. And I mean, they're sharing the word of God, and they're sharing it with so much power that people who are in the shadow of Peter are being healed. And so when people saw this, they began to talk about this all around Jerusalem, and bringing sick people and hurting people, bringing them to Peter and John so Peter and John could heal them. Now, they were walking in God's authority to do what they did. It wasn't their power. But it was God's power that they were walking in and that they were operating in. And no sooner than the public religious leaders saw what they were doing, they made a plan to incarcerate them. Why? Because the message that the religious leaders were sharing ain't have no power in it. And so I believe jealousy was sparked in the heart of the religious leaders because they said, if these brothers keep walking around here talking about this Jesus and talking about all this power that this Jesus has given them, well, we don't have that. And so the people are going to be released or turned from the control of religion to walking in it, to walking in relationship. And we can't have that. Because we want control over them. And that's what the Sadducees were all about. The religious leaders wanted to control the people with the message of hope. But Jesus came to liberate them.
Yes. Amen.
To set them free and to let them know that I'm bigger than that. Glory to God. That I'm bigger than your problems. I'm bigger than your circumstance. This word that I want you to have is going to be thing that's going to change the way you live, change the way the moment it gets deep down inside of you and you begin to share that word with others, then they're going to receive the same liberation that you have. They're going to receive it. And the religious leader said, oh no, we can't have them doing this because it's going to break up our control over the people. So we come into verse 17 where they incarcerate them. Says they put their hands on them. Glory. They put their hands to because they were filled with indignation and they locked them up. And so in this text, I want us to understand something. I want us to understand that in order to live in the power and the promises of God, outside of your prison life. Two things in this text I want to share with you that I believe will help you and I trust God to destroy the fences and the barriers that want to keep us from being strong Christians. I'm telling you, God wants us to be strong Christians, not these carnal believers, not being believers who saying, well, I feel good about who I am one day and then the next day I'm insecure about who I am. Listen, God wants some consistency in the life of them that believe. And so God is calling us and he's built us to be strong in him.
Yes, amen. Amen. Amen.
And so the first thing, glory to God. Look at verses 17 and 18. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Then the high priest rose up all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation. And I just told you why they were upset about what was going on. And then in verse 18, and laid their hands on the apostles, Peter and John, and put them in the common prison. When you come out of your prison to live in Christ's power, I'm letting you know right now, you will have confrontation. I'm telling you, you know, like I said, that you are right with the devil as long as you are not effective. But the moment you decide I'm going to walk in this power that God has given me and you become effective and you start tearing down the kingdom of darkness and you start moving and walking in God's power, listen, then the enemy will use the people who he has control over to either distract you and I or to confront us. And so I'm letting you know this morning, if you're afraid of confrontation, you're not going to make it. You're going to be in trouble. Because when this enemy comes and the folks who he have power over come and confront you, they're not confronting you. They're confronting what you believe.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Oh, glory to God.
Yeah.
And so if you don't believe nothing, then the confrontation is simple. You're going to run right back into the prison, right back into the fence, right back behind the walls. Why? Because you're afraid of confrontation. But when you know who you are and who you belong to and you know the power and the authority that you walk in, then you look at confrontation and say, you should have came months ago when I didn't really know who I was. I know who I am now in Christ. And so I'm through with this prison life. I'm through with it. I'm done with this living below the expectation and the power that God has put in you and I. I'm done with being scared and frightened every time a confrontation, or I'm done with it. Why? Because I no longer choose to live under the authority of my prison life. I'm now walking in power. And so sometimes the enemy of God will attempt to confront us on our shortcomings. And when we start to make the transition, help us, Lord Jesus. You know, I'm telling you, there'll be people who remind you of how you used to live and how you used to be. And sometimes they make you try to feel bad about it, because they say, well, we used to have fun when you were around. But now every time you come around, we don't have no fun no more, because you just a party pooper. Well, guess what? The reality of it is, I ain't got that much party in me no more. And I'm happy 24 hours a day. I don't need an hour to be happy. I'm happy all day, every day, because of Jesus Christ. And so when he tries to intensify the confrontation on your life and try to make you feel like, you know, well, listen, you got all these shortcomings, you full of mistakes. That's why people who try to live a life in an understanding of perfection, you end up making more mistakes than the person who realized that they're mistake makers. Because the truth is, the Bible says, when the enemy comes to confront you on your shortcomings, you can say, well, guess what? We all fall short of the glory of God. The Bible says we ain't nothing but filthy, dirty rags in the sight of God. But God made a decision to take a dirty rag and clean it up real good, that you don't even realize that you was dirty in the first place. I'm done with the prison life. Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says that we fell short of God's glory. And so you have to remind yourself that by Jesus shedding his blood and demonstrating his love toward me and you while we were yet sinners, there was something that God did to clean our dirtiness up. And so the enemy can't confront you and I on the fact of our shortcomings unless you're trying to live perfect and you're trying to have it all together and you don't make no mistakes. Well, I'm telling you right now, that might be you, but the reality of it is, if you want to walk in power, the Bible says you got to understand that your weakness, it engages God's authority to operate and move in your life. He said, in your weakness. He said, in our weakness, his strength is made perfect. Not in our perfection, not in how smart we are. Oh, help us, Lord Jesus. Not how bright we are or how good we are. The reality of it is that you aren't going to enter into heaven on your merit alone. Well, Pastor, I'm a good person. Well, if you don't know Jesus, you can bust hell wide open, because there's some good people that's going to go straight to hell. We don't like to hear those kind of messages anymore. We want God to give us everything and we do nothing. But the fact is that we've got to have some faith in God because of what Jesus did. And so God, the Bible teaches us that God had passed over the sin that we were previously committed to or committed under because of Christ. And so I don't have to go back and forth with the enemy or with the enemy's agents, because the reality of it is, I am still messed up. But if it were not for the grace of God, there are places that God brought us out of that we would still be in if it were not for his grace. Somebody shout amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
The priest were enraged. I mean, they were, the text says that they had, in verse 17, that they were filled with indignation. And so, in other words, they were enraged that these two men are going around healing folks in the name of Jesus. And we just nailed that Jesus to a cross and we just buried that Jesus in a tomb. But see, they weren't wise enough to understand that the resurrection of Jesus Christ brought about the power of God in the hands of the believer. And so they thought that they were doing something powerful in their own name. But the truth is, they were laying hands on folks and they were preaching the word of God to people. And people were being delivered. Oh, good God Almighty. People were being delivered by the word. That's what the text says. They were just sharing the word. And so you got to prepare yourself for the confrontation. Because the religious leaders, they were concerned that if the spiritual and heavenly doctrine of Jesus Christ should get around and prevail among the people, that it would cause the righteous rulers to lose influence. And I'm telling you right now, there's some things around you that God wants to lose influence over you. There's some people in your life. There's some situation that God wants them. He wants the influence that they have over you to become lesser than, so that his influence can become greater than.
Amen. Amen.
You ought to think it strange.
Amen.
If people of no faith, you ought not think it strange that if people of no faith become the opposition to the people of faith. You ought not think it strange if people don't like you. Come on, help us, Lord Jesus. We ain't in high school no more. Where we trying to be popular. Amen. Some of us still are on our job trying to be popular. But the truth is, you ought not think it strange when people rise up against you and come up against you. I'm going to tell you something. Don't you take it personal. Because you have a Savior that is now living on the Spirit of God, is living on, Lord, who am I speaking to? Is living on the inside of you. And you got to understand, behind every confrontation is the agent of the enemy that is behind the confrontation, because he wants us to get away from walking in God's authority.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Turn to somebody and say, don't give it up. Don't give it up. Don't give it up. You better keep this thing. You better hold on to this thing. You better find your strength in this thing, because what God does, listen, no one can erase. If God builds it up, can't nobody tear it down. If God strengthens that, if he strengthens it and makes it stronger, then it'll never be weak. Why? Because the foundation of it is in the hands of the Lord. See, we have to understand that those who try to confront you are trying to cause you to be distracted. And the Lord put on my heart the analogy of us driving. And whenever we're driving, I mean, when my sons took a driving class, one of the main things that they had to learn, they had a whole session in class about distractive driving. And when we picked them up and they said, yeah, daddy, you know, they talked about can't eat no French fries while you're driving. You can't get on your cell phone. You shouldn't be eating no hamburgers, or you shouldn't be doing nothing. But listen to what I'm saying. But being focused on the road that you're on. I just said something right there. And so what we got to understand is God has given us a road. The Bible says he orders the steps of the righteous. And so God has placed us on a road. And so often we're chewing bubble gum and trying to read something and trying to talk to somebody all while we're trying to focus on the road that God has put us on. And so we become easily distracted by the things that are on the fringes of us, because nothing is going to jump in front of where God is taking us. And so the only thing that the enemy can do is to cause you to look to your left or your right. And the moment we do that, he says, I got you. And you know what some of those distractions are. When you get worried, he said, God, you done took your road. You done took your eyes off of the road that God has put you on. When you get discouraged, oh, good God of mine. Again, I got you. Because you done took your eyes again. See, Peter, when Peter walked on water, Peter would have walked all the way across the Sea of Galilee and would have walked on dry land if it were not for him being what? Distracted and looking at what was around him. And Jesus told him, the reason why you fell and your faith fell is because you took your eyes off of me. And some of us in here, we taking our eyes off of him too much. You're distracted while you're driving. And so you wonder why. You wonder why it's taking you so long to get to where God's destiny is for you. It's because you keep looking out the window beside you and you're not even focused on the road in front of you. Turn to somebody and say, I'm leaving this prison life. I'm walking now. I'm going to walk in his power. We have to understand that. See, because the apostles understood that if you look at verse 12, glory to God. If you look at verse 12, the apostles understood that. The Bible says, and through the hands of the apostles, look at what it says. Many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord on Solomon's porch. And so you Solomon's porch was a place where Jesus walked past and healed some people, because people who need healing always hung out at Solomon's porch. But then it says in verse 14, look at verse 14, and believers, good God Almighty, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. So in other words, not only were people getting healed, people were also getting saved. And guess what? Joining the church. Because they saw two men who made a decision to not be distracted. And you got to understand, you if you look in chapter 3 and chapter 4, that at some point, the name of Jesus in the place where Peter and John was, the name of Jesus was forbidden to even say his name. And you got to be bold to just say, I know what they're saying, but we're going to lift up Jesus anyway. I mean, have you ever been in a situation that everything around you was telling you, shh, be quiet. You listen, don't draw no attention to yourself. But God had done so much in your life and in your circumstance that you couldn't keep your mouth closed. And so get ready, because you're going to be confronted. Help us, Lord Jesus. You're going to be confronted by the enemy. You're going to be confronted by some of the people that don't have no faith in God. You're going to be confronted sometimes by the people who say they love you and know you. Because the confrontation is about God. Good God Almighty. The confrontation is about you not walking with God. It ain't personal. And so I want to encourage you this morning to get out of your emotions. Shake your emotions off, because you always think that they coming after me. No, they not. You ain't that special. They're coming after the God in you. And so when you understand that I have the God in me, then you say, well, hold on, I'm not going to take this personal, because there's no way they can defeat the God that's in me. Yeah, they might knock me down, but I'm going to get right back up. Why? Because of the God in me. Yeah, they might talk bad about me and drag my name through the mud. But guess what? I'm going to walk with my head held up high, looking unto the hill that cometh my help. Because where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord. Turn to somebody and say, no distractions.
No distractions.
Second thing. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Second thing.
Thank you, Lord.
When we come out of our prison life and choose to live in Christ's power, I want you to understand this. You have to share with others what God has done. See, some of us get too shame. Because we don't want nobody to know. You know, I ain't going to really talk about it. Well, and then I'm going to tell you something. The enemy will send somebody and say, hey, you talk about that too much. Every time you see you talking, all you talk about is that. Well, I'm telling you, deliverance and healing never gets old. Whatever the Lord has healed you from, it don't get old because you're walking in it. Whatever God delivered you from, it does not get old because you're walking in it. And how dare God do such a wonderful thing of healing and delivering us and we don't tell nobody. Turn to somebody and say, you better shout this thing every time you get an opportunity. See, because you don't know who's in the audience. You know, yeah, you got some folks that say you say that too much. But on one day you shout it, there might be somebody in the audience that says, oh, my God, they talking just to me. Glory to you mean it? God did it for them. And so if God did it for them, oh, if God did it, I know he can do it for me. And so you don't know who you're shouting for.
Yeah. Jesus.
And so second thing,
thank you, Lord.
You have to share with others what God has done. Look at verses 19. Mm-hmm. Verse 18 says, and then they laid their hands on the apostles, Peter and John, and put them in the common prison. Huh. I could say something right there, but Lord, I'm going to keep on moving. But verse 19 says, help us, Lord. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors. Thank you, Lord. And brought them out. And so they had an escort. You know, Peter and John was in prison before. And the ground, God caused an earthquake and the ground shook. And the Bible says that the gates of the prison cells had opened up. And then those who knew that the power of God was moving went to Peter and John and said, what must I do to be saved? But this time, didn't no gates open. The Bible says that an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, listen to this, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. Then I'm telling you, God sent an angel to release them out of prison. You need to know that if God would send an angel to deliver them out of their prison, you need to know that God is still sending angels to release us from things or to bring us out of things that we sometimes find ourselves in. And so you have to understand that God will set the prison. He'll open the prison, come into it, pull you out of it, and then he directed them. He didn't say, listen, hurry up and get out of town, because the moment they find that you are no longer in the prison, they're going to kill you. He didn't say them, because that would have been God encouraging them to be afraid. But he said, nah. I know they locked y'all up because y'all was talking about me. And so let's get them real good. He says, I'm going to send an angel to let you out. But I don't want you to leave the town that you're in. I don't want you to be afraid and now you're walking around still worried about whether they're going to catch me again or you're concerned about if I go out here again, they're going to see me and they're going to throw me back in jail. The Bible says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Freedom. And so I can hear the Lord saying, I'm going to use y'all to prove to them who I am. And he said, go, I want you to go right back out in the temple. And I want you to keep on. And I love the fact that the text says that he said the words of life. Good glory to God. You know, not the words of how you should live. He said the words of life, because when you receive Jesus as your Savior and you're walking in God's authority, it ought not be just the life you live. It ought to really become your life. Yeah. He said this life. Y'all understand that the angel of the Lord was saying this life. He's talking about this life that you're living, filled with the Spirit of God, walking in God's authority, walking in God's power. He said, go right on back out there. And keep telling them. Oh, who am I talking to this morning? Go on back out there. I know they talked about you on your job and sometimes made you feel so bad when you left your job that you sat in your car and you may have cried a little bit. But guess what? Going back out there. Yeah, yeah. I know he or she may have broken your heart and made you feel like you were worth nothing and made you feel like that nobody else would love you like they would love you when they broke up. But listen, God is saying to you this morning, go on back out there. He said, go on back out there and tell them what I've done and what I'm doing. I want you to understand this morning that God is still a bondage breaker. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And not only is he a bondage breaker, but God can also loose every chain that might try to hold you in captivity. You got to understand that. But we got to put our trust totally in him. Because if he tells us to go back out there, we cannot be afraid of their faces or what they're going to think about us. Listen, I'm telling you, I don't know if you've ever been talked about, but sometimes you can be talked about so bad that you're scared to even show back up at the place that the people talked about you. And the truth of it is, God says, in order for them to know who I am, you got to humble yourself and you got to go right back to them and say, let me tell you what God is doing. Help us, Lord. You got to have a prisoner's hope is that the one day I'm going to be free. and so don't get stuck in your prison that you see. You got to keep telling yourself when you feel those walls getting ready to be built up, you got to have a prisoner's hope. You got to say, well, I'm going to be free one day. This thing is not going to stop God. This thing is not going to hold God back from doing what God is going to do in my life. Yeah, I feel persecuted, but guess what? I can get back up from my persecution. Why? Because Jesus' blood was shed that even if I'm persecuted, I got to still walk in the understanding that God has power even over my persecutor. So we have to understand that after the angel of the Lord told them to get up, help us, Lord Jesus, and go on back out there. Look at verse 21. Ah, thank you, Lord. Look at verse 21. Verse 21 in Acts chapter 5 says, and when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. What are you scared of? Turn to somebody and say, what are you afraid of? They didn't say, listen, they didn't say in the prison, well, if the Sadducees see us out there, they sure enough going to get us and throw us back in. No. They got up. They walked into the temple. And I can just use my sanctified imagination. They didn't need a song before they taught. I don't think they needed some tambourine or some folks to say, oh, here come the people who believe in God. I don't even think they may have said, come on, give the Lord some praise. I believe they walked right in and they said, Jesus is the answer to everything or every problem that you might be facing right now. That Jesus is the King of glory. That Jesus is strong and mighty. That Jesus is the one who can. I believe they just begin to talk about who Jesus was. And I believe folks started hearing Jesus' name and started hearing these brothers talk about what God was doing and what God had done in their lives. And I believe they just walked around to him and said, keep on preaching, keep on talking, keep on teaching. Because your teaching, and every one of us are called to be ministers of the gospel. And so your teaching, if it's filled with the Spirit of God, it's going to make an impact. If you're just simply trying to draw attention to yourself, I'm telling you right now, they'll hear your word and they'll get confused about what they need to be understanding. But if you're filled with the Spirit of God, and you don't have to be loud about it, because somebody can sit next to you on the bus stop or sit next to you in a restaurant, and you could just be talking about who the Lord is. And they can say, well, listen, what church do you go to? And so tell somebody. Amen. Help us, Lord Jesus. God said in Zechariah chapter 9 that he will save his people because the blood of his covenant. He said, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. And so we're without excuse. Help us, Jesus. God sent an angel to set them free from the hands of their persecutors. And God, listen to this, and God renewed their commission. Just when you think you can't do it, or you feel so bad about what you've done for the Lord, that people ain't hear what you said, and people just mocked you and told you you're a Jesus lover, you need to go on about your business. Listen, the angel of the Lord recommissioned them. And said, listen, I know you're in prison, but listen, you are preaching and sharing the Great Commission. There is no commission that's greater than the Great Commission that talks about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is no commission that's greater than the Great Commission that talks about you can receive salvation if you come to the Lord. There is no commission greater that says, that teaches, that if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus has then been raised from the dead, there's no commission that will tell you that if you do this, then you shall be saved. Amen. And so the Lord renewed their commission. Amen. And said, don't change the message because you feel bad. Turn to somebody and say, the message is still powerful. But what we've got to do, ain't no need in sharing the message if you ain't living the message. See, you can't tell somebody that God is the deliverer and you still walk in fear and distraction about your own deliverance. And so the power of darkness was fighting against the apostles, Peter and John. While at the same time, the Father of lights was fighting for them.
Thank you, Lord. Come on now.
See? And so that's why Paul could say, I press toward the mark. And I believe he said, I press because you got to press against something that's pressing back against you. See, Paul didn't say, I'm walking toward the mark. He didn't say, I'm skipping toward the mark. He said, I'm pressing. Because when you're pressing to do something, it's because there's a force, help us, Lord Jesus, that's pressing back against you. And you got to keep pressing in the name of Jesus toward the mark for the prize that is in the high call of Jesus Christ. And so while the enemy and the religious leaders were fighting against the power of darkness was fighting against the apostles, the Father of lights was helping them to press forward and fighting for them. And God sent to them an angel of light to move them out of the prison to continue to do the work of God.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
Final word. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. So when you make the decision, And you may have made it already, but there might be somebody who's listening this morning or who might be in here in the sanctuary. You've been pressed on. And you ain't pressing up. And so the reality of it is that when you make the decision to step out of your prison, to live in the power of God, listen, to do a good work for God. And when you begin, I'm telling you, this confrontation and this opposition, listen, it comes even stronger when you start growing. That's how you know you're growing. Don't take it personal. The opposition wants to stifle your growth, wants to make you think that you ain't really doing nothing. Wants to confuse you in your mind and make you think that you're less than when God has made you to be greater than.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
And so don't, whatever you do, don't go back to your prison life. You know, part of the challenge with prisoners who get out of jail, they've gotten so used to jail when they come out into the regular population. They go on and do another crime because they felt more comfortable where they were. All their friends was in prison. And so they come out of prison. They don't know nobody no more. They don't have no friends. They don't have nobody to encourage them and support them. And so they said, listen, I might as well go back to jail. Because I had some homeboys in jail. The sisters who are in prison can say, at least I had some homegirls in jail. And I'm going to tell you, the enemy makes them use the word family in a distorted way. I had a family in prison. And so whatever you do, turn to somebody and say, don't go back to your prison life. What you had in your prison life was nothing compared to what the glory of God is going to produce in your life. And so let God destroy your distractions. Because that's what he wants to do. Let God destroy your worries. Let God destroy your failures. Help us, Lord Jesus. Let God destroy your fears and your bad habits and your bad attitude. Why, Pastor? Because all those things were fences and walls that we placed around ourselves. And so if you feel fenced in this morning, that's why I'm glad a fence is like wire, because at least I can see what it looks like on the outside. And so if you can see what it looks like on the outside, move now outside of your fence.